Let's go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 2. 1 Kings chapter number 2. Heaven's going to be great someday. Looking forward to that. 1 Kings chapter number 2 this evening. So still haven't decided what we're going to do in the next series, whether it be 1 Kings or a different portion, a different book. And normally we do Old Testament on Wednesday nights. We might switch it up a little bit, whatever the Lord wants. But we do want to finish out David's life. So we've gone through David's life and 2 Samuel. A long time ago, we looked at 1 Samuel, gone through 2 Samuel. And I did not want to leave, if we don't do 1 Kings, I did not want to leave without at least saying and letting David say his goodbyes. And there's some things in this message tonight we're going to look at. We might go back to chapter number 1. We might begin the whole series through 1 Kings. It is a great book of the Bible. There's a lot of awesome and great stories. It's easy to teach and preach through. We can learn about the different kings. We know about Elijah. We learn about a lot of different interesting characters in the book of 1 Kings. But we'll figure that out as time goes along. But right now, tonight, I'd like to look at, and we finish up with David's life here. And there's something I got when I was sitting here and reading, and something that the thought that the Lord just kept on bringing to my mind. Let's go ahead and look here in 1 Kings chapter number 2. Let's look in verse number 1. It says, Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And I thought about that. And you think about the mighty King David, the great warrior that took on Goliath, the one that fought so many battles and slew so many things and did all these different things that God used and blessed. He's getting ready to die. Go to chapter number 1 now. In chapter number 1, I guess back of page or two, it talks about David being close to death and he couldn't even get warm. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse number 1. Now King David was old and stricken. Man, that's not a good way to describe somebody. Hey, look, you're old. But that's what David was. David was old and stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. Now, I don't really think this is a godly thing to do. This is something they used to do way back when as a form of even medicinal type purposes. But I don't see where God would bless that. He makes her, in my mind, another concubine or another wife. And what's the purpose there? And it's, you know, the Bible talks about one wife. I was talking to Mr. Idlet a little bit today about that, and they talked about, you know, multiple wives. And he says I can't handle the one I have, and I agreed with him. But you get in this, and some people say, well, it's okay because he was a king. I don't think it's okay. But whatever. But it shows you the weakness and the weak spot he was in, how weak he was. He's so weak that he can't get heat. They get this fair damsel in verse number 3, and the damsel is very fair in verse number 4. But what the purpose was, he couldn't get warm. And I want you to understand that this is the mighty King David. This is the one that slew the lion, slew the bear. He's the one that took on Goliath. He's the one that was the warrior, the king. Look what it says in verse number 15. And it says in chapter 1, and Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chambers, and the king was very old. So you see in verse number 1, they said he was old. Verse 15, he's very old. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I see this, and something has kept on coming to my heart and mind is, we're not going to be here forever. And I know most of our kids and teenagers are in the back, and we think about us as older people. We're not going to be here forever. And we have a limited time. And chapter number 1 is an interesting chapter. We're not going to look at it tonight. One of King David's sons tries to take over the throne, but King David was supposed to give it to Solomon, and that all works out. In chapter number 2, he knows he's getting ready to die. He calls Solomon in. He wants to talk to Solomon, and he tells Solomon, he gives Solomon a charge. He is passing down the throne, passing down the mantle, and he is explaining to Solomon, this is what you need to do. I've always found it interesting, whether it's a biblical character or a non-biblical character, what they say right before they pass away, that at least when they're in their right mind, the things that they share with somebody and share with somebody else is this is what's important to them. I mean, you're getting ready to die, you can say whatever you want. But when you bring your family that's close to you, your friends that are close to you, you bring them close by, and you present a message that you know you're getting ready to pass away, these things are very important. And so that's what I'd like to look at tonight, verses 1 through 4. The title of the message is, found in verse number 2, I go the way of all the earth. And that's it's the thought here. David, the great mighty warrior, the lion killer, the bear killer, the one who was willing not to kill Saul, but God used such a miraculous way over his life. You see him laying there in that bed and can't even get warm. He's old, stricken. And I guess it reminds me that someday that's going to be where we're there. When I go visit people and I see people and I look at them and I see them many times life as their life has gone out of them and they're there and they can't do much for themselves. And we pray for them because someday we might be in that state. And it just reminds me of making sure we focus on the important things. So when I read these verses here, excuse me, in verses 1 through 4 especially, I see something that's important to David. Let's look here in verse number 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, and David had multiple sons. This is the one that was going to sit on his throne, though. He says, I go the way of all the earth. This is something that we all, the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. Show thyself a man. And what a challenge. Sometimes I pick on my sons, and if they're, you don't want to drink some medicine or something, I tell them, come on, man up. Go ahead and drink it. But that's not the type of man I think they're referring to here. And it says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So you have what David is saying here. He says, and then he begins to give some instructions. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, and talks about Joab and what he should do with Joab. And that's not really our interest tonight. In verse number 6, he talks about what should happen in verse number 7 and in Barzillai. Verse number 8, he talks about what should happen to Shimei. Verse number 9, now therefore hold him not guiltless, talking about Shimei. Verse number 10, it says, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So as far as we know that this is his last instructions to Solomon, and he looks at them and says, I want you to show thyself a man. He says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to consider. So because we all go the way of the earth, there's some things here I'd like to learn from tonight's passage. Man after God's own heart, the mighty king of Israel, laying on the bed, dying, can't even get heat. And he says these things. First thing I want you to think about is a challenge we must consider. And that's what David's doing. He's bringing Solomon to his bedside, and he's sitting up, and he's saying to him, this is something you need to consider. And that's when he says, we go all the way of the earth. We must consider your end. He says, I go the way of all the earth. David reminds his son that he was going to die, and no one is exempt from this. No one is exempt from the afterlife. Everyone someday will spend eternity somewhere. And David is saying to his son, remember this, I go the way of all the earth. And so the first thing is the challenge we must consider. We must consider that there is a challenge that's put before us, and it's to live in this world and in this life for a period of time. And we must embrace that challenge because we have these 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth to show how we're going to worship him and praise him with our lives and with our bodies. Many of us like to consider, hey, I'm going to do this for myself, and I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to accomplish this. And Solomon here, what does he do with his life? He spends his life considering all, and he became one of the wisest men, if not the wisest man to live except for Jesus Christ. He'd be able to accomplish more than anyone before him and accomplish more than anyone after him. He talked about all the pleasures. He did not refrain himself from any of these pleasures. He did all these things. He did not live his life with this in mind, thinking that someday I'm going to die and someday I'm going to stand before God. So as David is there, and you can see him, at least I can, because I've seen some frail people in my lives, and you can see the frail man laying there in their bed and just trying to get up. And then the person comes in and they try to talk to you and they don't have strength to talk to you. And he's looking at him, and this is might be the last time he ever sees Solomon, might be the last time he ever speaks. And he speaks to him and he says him something important. He says, look, I'm going to die. It's obvious to everybody that that's going to happen. He's on his deathbed. He's getting ready to go. But he's reminding Solomon. He says, I want you to consider this challenge is that I'm going the way of the earth. And you got to remember and live your life day by day saying, I'm not going to be here forever. There is going to be a day coming when I will not breathe. And there's a day coming when I will open up my eyes, whether it be in hell or whether it be in heaven. There is a challenge that's put here. You need to consider your end. Consider your end. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. Continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For is, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So what the scriptures is saying there is, remember that your life is nothing but a vapor. We do not know how long we're going to be here in eternity. And David is saying this to his son. David is saying this, more importantly, to the next king of Israel. He had multiple children. We know he wasn't the greatest father. We don't even know if he really has a special connection with Solomon. If he really was excited about Solomon being on the throne, he would have already established it. He would have already put it there. I think he's still mourning the death of Absalom, because I think Absalom was his choice, but God's choice was Solomon. So the first thing to consider is consider your end. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? Is the life and the years that God's given you since you've known him something you're going to be held accountable for? Yes. Should we keep that and consider that every day of our lives? This might be my last day here. I need to consider that challenge. Second thing, not only consider your end, consider your strength. Look what it says in verse number 2. It says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. And he says, I want you to be a strong individual. And what is strength? I think about the strength that some people have. I think David, in some way, shape, or form, as a warrior and accomplishing all those things, I know God helped him in a lot of ways, but I don't think he was a weak man. I think he was someone that was physically fit and physically strong for his youth, physically strong as he went out in those battles. But there came a day and a time when he was fighting against that one giant and he needed his nephew to come alongside and help him. He wasn't going to stay that strong that long. He wasn't going to stay that mighty that long. He wasn't going to be the warrior forever. And he looks at Solomon and says, be strong. He says to him, he says, be thou strong therefore. Because of the fact that your days are numbered, and because of the fact that your days are not going to be forever, be there, be thou strong therefore. And I think there is a positive thing in having strength and being physically fit and physically in shape, especially that will help you do the work of the Lord, and many times it will help you live longer if you're in good health. But I think the strength that he is talking about is not the strength that we think about muscles. I think the strength he's referring to is the strength that comes spiritually. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now is and of that which is to come. Strength, power. He's frail. He can't even keep himself warm. That's where he was ending up. We've heard all these stories. We spent many weeks and over a year in between 2 Samuel and 1 Samuel learning about this man, the sweet psalmist of Israel. All these great, probably one of the men that's most used of all the Bible. But he's weak. We're going to be there someday. And he says, look, because of that. And that's what he says. Verse number 2, I go the way of the earth, be thou strong therefore. That therefore is referring to the fact that he's going the way of the earth. You need to be strong, but not just strong in physical strength, but more importantly, spiritual strength. A man can be physically strong, but spiritually frail. The challenge here is to be spiritually strong. The third thing is not only consider your end, consider your strength. Consider what God made you to be. Consider what God made you to be. And I like this. I go all the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. That next phrase. Show thyself a man. God made him a man. And that's what David's challenge was. Be a man. And we consider this that in the day and time that we live in. And it amazes me that there's people out there who don't know if they're a boy or a girl. People out there who want to change their gender. Parents out there who want to blur the lines and force these things upon children that are impressionable. And it's sickening. It's disgusting. It's sin. And it's wrong. And David looks at him and says, look, now you be a man about it. And I know I joked a little bit and said, sometimes when my sons maybe don't want to drink some medicine they don't want, or there's a job they got to do, and maybe they don't feel that well. We tell our kids, at least I do, at least for my sons, be a man about it. Come on, let's go. Buck up. Let's get going. That's not really what he's saying here. He says, now God's given you a responsibility. Now let's do that. God's made you a man. God's given you this position. Now show thyself a man. Don't be weak. Do what's needed. Do what's necessary. And I know we taught in our men's class, I don't know which it was, maybe a year or two ago, we talked a little bit about this phrase to begin it, and we talked about what is a man of God and what is a real man. You hear people say, real men do this. We know those guys that wear pink shirts and says, real men wear pink. What is a real man? Real men, I looked it up online, real men still open the door for their wives. One site says, real men carry a gun. Another site says, real men don't carry a gun. Some people say, the more muscles you have, the better, bigger of a man you are. I guess size-wise, you might be bigger, but it doesn't make you a man. And so, what is a man? And the challenge is to find out when David is saying to Solomon is the challenge for us today. Be what God wants you to be. Show thyself a man. Show thyself a woman. Don't try to go outside of who God's made you. Be what God's made you to be and be thankful for that. So it is a challenge that God gives us to consider. David is telling Solomon, I want you to consider something. I want you to consider your end. You're not going to be here forever. I want you to consider your strength, where you get your strength from, because I'm laying in this bed and I can't even get heat. They cover me up with clothes and I can't even get warm. And then I want you to consider what God made you to be. He's telling his son, consider what God made you to be. Now show yourself a man. Don't try to deny your responsibilities. Don't try to run away from what God's given you. Make sure that you embrace those things. Micah 6:8 says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God wants from us. Godly Christian men need strength of character, but a humble spirit, that so that the world can see that they're different. So that the world can see that there's something special and that they're not running away from their responsibilities, but instead embracing the responsibility. I am a man. And if I am a father, I'm going to act like a father. If I'm a husband, I'm going to act like a husband instead of acting unlike what God made me, intended me to be. The first thing, you see a challenge that we must consider. The second thing, the way to accept the challenge. So he gives him these things. He tells him, show thyself a man. And then he begins to describe in verse number 3 the way to accept this challenge. And he says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. He's saying, be faithful to the charge. Solomon is supposed to obey this charge by doing all that God has commanded it. Any man who has served in our country's military service knows full when a command is given, the response is, yes, sir, or aye, aye, sir. And they understand this. And that's what David is saying to Solomon. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. It's not even the charge of him, but the charge that God's given him, which is to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. We see the story. David is saying him. He's saying him. He's sick. He's getting ready to die. And he says, look, make sure that you be faithful to the charge, what God's given you to do. Why is it that so many people do not like earthly authority? Why is it so many people rather disobey the command of our heavenly authority? We need to be like Samuel. And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." They need to see the charge that God's given us. And we might not always like the charge. We might not always like being put ourselves into a authority. But and many times men are made up in a way that they have something bred in them, that they're head of the household and they're leaders, and they're leaders by point, but also they must learn to humble themselves. And David's saying, okay, now show thyself a man, but don't ever forget you're under God's authority. Yes, show thyself a man, but listen to the charge of God. It's not you walking in your ways and you doing what you think is best. He says, I want you to learn this, is to be faithful to the charge. And the second thing is to walk in his ways. It's often been rightly said, the will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And he's saying, if you'll walk in the ways of the Lord, then you'll be able to accomplish the charge. And this is what he says here, to walk in his ways. As we learned this past Sunday morning, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Trust in the Lord of all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He's saying, here, walk in the ways of God. David is not sitting there telling him, this is what you should do with the kingly things, and this is this, and how to win a battle, and how to win a war. There is some instructions he gives with that, but instead he says, keep the charge of God. I want you to be a man about things, but I want you to remember, the greatest man is one who can follow God's charge. The greatest man is one who can walk in the ways of God. And then he continues on, and he says that he's going to prosper. Keep on looking, and it says, he says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. And then he says, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And so here's the thing. He's saying, not only if you will learn to follow the charge and you walk in his ways, guess what? You're going to prosper. This is a good thing. He's saying, this is more important. The spiritual strength is more important than the physical strength. Yes, bodily exercise profit a little, but a man that knows and fears the Lord and lives for the Lord, that is the one that will prosper. And that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest. Blessings can follow us if we choose to follow the Lord. And David, as he's saying goodbye to his son, he's saying, if you want to prosper, make sure that you are being a man. But the greatest thing you can do as a man is follow the Lord. And the third thing is the challenge to the future generation. The challenge to the future generation. That's what he's doing there. The person that's going to be taking his spot. The person that's going to be the next king of Israel. Number three king of Israel. Unless you count Absalom, which I don't. He's there and he's on the bed. And he's trying to challenge that next generation. He's trying to challenge that generation. This is what you need to do. And this is what you need to do. And this is what you need to do. But it begins with doing verse number three. Accepting the challenge of faithfulness. And he says to him, verse number four, that the Lord may continue his word which he spoken concerning me. If thy children take heed to their ways, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. He's talking about the legacy he's leaving behind. He's saying, God promised me this, that if we will do what we're supposed to do, there'll never fail a man on the throne of Israel. It'll be in the kingdom. It'll be in the family. And it's a challenge to say, this is what we need to teach the next generation, is if we will walk according to what God says. And it says, if thy children take heed unto their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul. That's what we should be teaching. What will we leave behind when we leave this world? Many people leave a great amount of money. Maybe some people leave behind some property. Nothing wrong with either one of those things. Some people leave behind a heritage of performances. Some people leave behind a heritage of memories. But what is the most important thing you can leave behind? And I think, you think about David, he's leaving behind the kingly throne of Israel. And in Solomon's day and time, it talks about how the stones become as silver, that they're so wealthy. He is leaving David in a really, Solomon in a really great spot. But that's not what David's saying is important. David is saying, this is the most important thing you can leave for your children. that they take heed and they walk before me and in truth with all their heart. David established a great legacy for Solomon to inherit. Yes, physically he had probably more than he could ever do know what to do with. But spiritually, he transfers the leadership of this nation from the house of Saul. He establishes the royal house of David, and one day its majesty will be seen when Jesus Christ, the Son of David, sits on the throne of the entire earth. There is a legacy that's leaving. And David had a great legacy. What type of legacy will we leave behind? Hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, it's written about David in what says Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto David to be their king. Now listen to this. To whom also he gave testimony. He's talking about God gave this testimony. And said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. It's Acts 13:22. He said, I found me a man. I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. That next phrase, which shall fulfill all my will. That is the legacy that this crippled up man that can't get heat is leaving him. And he's saying to him, make sure your children walk in the ways of the Lord. I want you to walk in the ways of the Lord. And now I know David wasn't perfect. We know David sinned with Bathsheba. We know David sinned of counting the people. We know David messed up. But David, when God saw David's life and God's legacy, he says, that was a man that was after my own heart. That was a man who fulfilled all my will. And I wonder if what will be said about us. I think about some of the things that are maybe going to be said about me someday. And my desire isn't to be known for anything besides a person who loved the Lord. A person who desired to do what the Lord wanted them to do. The choices we make in life, the decisions we follow, come from our own will. Now, the challenge is, do we give God our will? Lord, here's my will. That's what David is saying. I go all the way of the earth. Everything in the earth is going to go the same place I'm going. We're headed the same spot. I'm going to challenge you. Consider your end. I'm going to challenge you to consider to be faithful. I'm going to challenge you to challenge the future generations of what God could do in your life. I see David as he's leaving, and I just sat there, and I saw that man in the bed and lying there and can't even get his own heat. And they bring this young girl in, and they try to help him along the way. And the Bible says he did not know her, meaning he didn't enter into relationships with her. So I don't want to try to make it something that is, you know, even more wicked than what it is. But he's laying there and he cannot help himself. People are trying to help him and he cannot help himself. His son, his other son's taking advantage of this, and he's going to try to take over the throne of Israel without David knowing. And he goes in there and thinks, well, David can't do anything about it. He is weak and he cannot do anything right now for himself. But he challenges Solomon and he says, Solomon, this is what you need to do. I want you to consider your end. I want you to consider your strength. And I want you to consider what God's made you. Now, be faithful to a call. Be following his ways. Prosper. And last but not least, challenge the next generation as I've challenged you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed and for a time of invitation. I know there's a lot of things in these four verses.